You got one, Shelby?
Yeah.
Well.
You just have more time to preach.
I've tried to pick one that was short and sweet. Okay. Before I do start coughing.
Oh, man. Let's see. All right, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passing by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. I'm going to bring you this message today on, are you ready? Are you ready? Well, preacher, what are you saying? Are you ready for what? What am I ready? What am I supposed to be ready for? Well, we have many pastors, many preachers out here, many churches, they believe that the religious group, it's like, and that's what y'all is, a religious group, and religion is one that's going to send majority of the people to hell. Because that's all they know, they preach religion, but the thing about it is, you can make anything your own a religion. You can make your family. You can worship your family. You can do that, and you can make your family a religion. You can make your job a religion. You can make anything a religion. Anytime that you put something else before the Lord Jesus Christ, you can make it your religion. Some preach that Christ has already returned, and we are now in the tribulation period. We're nowhere near the tribulation period right now, because it's a whole, I believe some other things has got to come to pass. I mean, I don't know of anything, but evidently something else has got to happen, because the Father has not seen everything, and he has not seen exactly what is happening now, and because it has not come to pass. It has not come up. So we know that the tribulation period that they say that we are in today is not true. It's not true. The reason they say that we're in a tribulation period is because the way the world, the way the society has got. Because we know that over in the book of Timothy, he's talking about the perilous times. And we know over in also in the book of Timothy, the same chapter, is speaking about men, lovers of men, women, lovers of women, and they sleep together and all of that. We know that's not biblical. We know that is not true according to God's word, because that is a sin, and I believe is a sin unto death. But that's not the only thing that a whole lot of preachers I hear are preaching. I know one preacher that he preached salvation. He preached from the King James Bible for years, and he'd been at the church for 20-some years, almost 30 years at that time. Then he went to something like it wasn't a jubilee, it wasn't a camp meeting, but it was like a conference, some kind of conference that they had. And they had all preachers and all pastors there, and had deacons and had members of the church there, of the different churches there. They had over 5,000 people that day. And he come back home. And when he came back home, he started looking for, I don't know what he was looking for, but he found him a Bible that he was looking for, that he really wanted. And when he got up there, when they called him to the pulpit to start preaching, he said, I want y'all to turn to John chapter 14. And I want you to just listen to what it says. And he started reading. And he was reading on. And the people was looking around. They was looking behind them. They look, where's he at? What book is he in? Come to find out, yeah, he was in John 14 in his Bible. But his Bible wasn't the King James. They don't know what kind of Bible he had. But he got up that day Before he started preaching, after he read the scripture. After he was supposed to read the scripture, he didn't read no scripture. But he got up and he said this to the people. He said, I got something I need to tell each and every one of you today. I know there's some that's not here today because they're sick. But I'm going to call in and I'm going to tell them the same thing. He says, I've learned something in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been thinking about it. And I've been reading about it and seeing what it's all about and everything. And he says this scripture in the King James Bible is full of lies. It's full of lies. It says one thing, but then when you go to the next verse, it'll say something else different. It'll contradict and what they just read. And he says, the King James book is a lie. And he says, and today, I've been preaching to here at the church for almost 30 years, and I've been preaching a lie. And he goes on to say, he says, because I know that some people in here said they got saved. But that's a lie also. He said that people in general, they don't know anything at all about the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible that they've been reading and the Bible that they've been taught from has been taught a lie. And he says, I'm going to say this, and I want you to take this and I want you to remember this, that there is no hell. There is no hell. The only hell that we have is the hell that where people are living now on earth. And they're not going to be sent to a place called hell, a place called purgatory and all of that. Because they're still here on earth. And that's the reason that there's a whole lot of people out here that will say that we're going through the tribulation time. And he says, I just want to reiterate to each one of you, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. I apologize to the church. I apologize to all the people that used to come here and they don't anymore. I apologize to them, and when I see them, I'm going to apologize to them face to face. And the people like that, they got to look at it. Some had a frown on their face, and they didn't know what the world think next, what he's going to say next. But he said that, and he read these scriptures right here too with the people. And he was right here speaking about over here in verse 8, but ye shall receive power. He says, how are you going to receive power from something that you've never seen, that you've never verbally spoke to, and you never had your ears to hear the words to come from the Lord's mouth? How can you say that? Because you don't hear the Lord. You don't hear God. You don't hear none of that. You don't hear anything of that. And some people say, well, you know, you need to go to God and you need to pray. And how you pray is, you is reading God's word. That's how you talk to God. He says, you cannot talk to God. He says, you can't do it. And he says, you know, I can't either. And I've been telling all y'all a lie all these years. And the ones that I've said, and I've said time and time again in the pulpit, that if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. He says, it's not true. He says, it's not true. You know where the church is at? In South Carolina. It's not far from the Tabernacle Church, Baptist Tabernacle, the Tabernacle Church down there where Seitler was pastor now, where Brother Aiken, where he was pastor too. He says it's not far from his church. Not far from that church down there. And the thing about it is, they were still preaching the gospel at the Tabernacle. And they was getting people in church. And they got a children's home. And they was getting children in the church. But this one pastor, he said on the radio one day, they was on the radio, this one church was, and he was telling the people there on the radio, he says, I want to apologize to all the listeners today because I've been preaching a lie for over 20-some years, and I just want to let you know I'm sorry about preaching that lie to y'all. And he said, the reason I'm apologizing, because I've come to find out that there is no hell. There's no hell. He said, because the reason I say that is because, and I've said it even at the graveside, and I've said it at the funeral home and at the church, when I'd have a family come in and somebody had gone on and died and said they met the Lord and everything. But they didn't do that. Says, because where is the body put? If Jesus is alive, if God's alive, if God's true, if the Lord Jesus is true, and the Holy Spirit, if all three of them are true, why do they allow them to be put in a box and be put where it's not just a casket? Well, now you've got to have, I don't know what they call it, you know,
the vault.
Yeah, the vault. You've got to have a vault now. You've got to have a vault. You've got to have everything around it to keep it intact. He said, how can it be? Why would you want to serve somebody like that. That after death and after the life that you served, and you served it for the Lord, now he's going to allow you to go through that. And you allow your family. How can you reach your family? How can they reach their family and tell his family about Jesus? How can they? They can't. They don't know how. And that preacher, I tell you, they said that preacher down in South Carolina at that church, and as far as I know, he's still there. The people was upset. Some of the people wanted to vote him out. At the end of that service that day, before he said amen, some of the people stood up. And they said, I've been a member of this church for so long. I forgot how many years it was, he said. But said that you have been a member of this church for so many years. But I've been preaching a lie to you too. And she stood, the first one was an elderly lady. She stood up. And she started speaking. And some of the people in the church said, just sit down. Just sit down. She says, I'm not sitting down. I'm not sitting down. I'm standing up. And I'm going to continue to stand up for my Lord. I'm going to continue to stand up for Jesus. But if you people in here allow him to continue on pastoring right here, you let me know right now. And I'm going to give up everything that I do here at the church. I'm going to give up my Sunday school class. I'm going to give everything up. Because I'm going to leave the church. Because it's no church. This is he's nothing but a liar himself. That's what the church is faced with today. The churches that want to stand for the truth, want to stand with God, want to take a stand for this word right here, and want to take a stand for it. And we'll fight for it. And we'll fight for the people of the church. So you're not going to run my people down. I'm sorry, you're not going to run them down. But he kept on. Oh, she had some other people stand up. Say about the same thing as she said. But they didn't have the majority. So all of them were voted down. And he continued to be the pastor of the church. You know the ones that voted for him to stay and continue to be the pastor of the church? Just one pastor down that way. He said that some of his members some of the church's members had left that church and they come to their church. And they told him because, see, down in the South, I know we're supposed to be this part of the South too, but in the heavy Bible Belt, that especially in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee, especially them states, the people, they stand by this word. And they will not allow somebody to come in and degrade this book. This one pastor said, he says, I've had people to tell me that the only people that they got down there now, and they were still running 500-600 people. This church where this pastor was at, running 500-600 people, preaching that stuff. He said, do you know what the age group is down there now? They don't have no elderly people. They don't have no senior citizens. They don't have no one like that no more. And they didn't die out. They died out from that church. And they denounced themselves from that church. And they did not even go and join another church and send for their a letter or something like that from the church where they was going to join. They didn't ask their church to send them that other church that was of the devil. They didn't send them nothing for no letter and saying where they was going. And they no longer did want to be a member there. No, they didn't do that. But are you ready? Are you ready? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Are you ready? Are you ready to face tomorrow? Because see, we could start facing that this coming week. And I hope and pray to God. This is my prayer. If he has any indication about my life and what my life stands for and what it should stand for, that if he thinks that I'm going to ever turn from the way that I am now to the way that that preacher preached and was telling his church, my prayer is that the Lord call me home. Because I don't want to be no disgrace to him. And I don't want to be no disgrace to the church. And I don't want nobody to go out here and tell y'all, say, well, I knew he won't last long and everything. I knew that. I mean, well, see now, he's dead and gone now. What you got now? Oh, man. Some people, you even have some out here that thinks that the Lord has already returned the second time. No, he hasn't returned the second time. Which is the majority of them are Jewish people. They are chosen. They're God's chosen people. But even though they're still God's chosen people, still not one way to get to heaven and be saved. And that's believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Because his son was the only begotten son. He didn't have no more. He didn't have no more children. She didn't have no more children. Mary didn't. Mary and Joseph didn't have any. Now, how you explain that when you had Mary there right there in heaven, and the scripture says it, where she had never slept with a man. But yet, she was carrying a child, and his name was going to be Jesus. Emmanuel, the wonderful one. He was going to be right there with them. And I believe, don't you believe, that speaking of God's love, could you say that God loved me more than he did his son? Nope. Because he gave his best. He gave his best of his family. He gave his son. He taught his son in what he was going to have to do. And we have some people that look around, especially a whole lot of ones that's not in church today. And plus, when you've got some people that's in church, they kind of will say the same thing. They say, well, you know, what I see and what the, you know, what's going on and everything, and with all the problems that the world has and everything, to me, it looks like the world is getting a little better. It looks like it's getting a little better. Why? Why do they say that? Because the preacher never preaches on hell. He'll never preach on the wrath of God. Always preaching about love and harmony and prosperity. All of that's good in its right place. But Jesus has to be number one in that. Not prosperity. Not this world. Not my wife. But he has to be number one. He has to be number one in my life. He has to be number one on the chart of my life. And if I'm going to fall, my prayer is that the Lord take me home before I fall, because I do not want to anybody to go around and say, well, I knew he wouldn't last. I mean, he was preaching from the King James there for so long and everything. Said, but now, you know something? He ain't preaching from the King James no more. He left the King James and went to the New King James. Didn't want long. Now he's preaching for some other Bible. They ain't Bibles. They ain't nothing but magazines is all they are. TV guides and stuff like that. People are more interested in what the TV guide has to say today than they are in what the Lord has to say. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready for anything the Lord has for me to do. I know I can't walk all that well, and sometimes I get up and I don't go like I should and like I could either. But I'll get on the phone and I'll think of somebody to call. Or he'll speak to my heart the night before when I'm lying there in the bed. He'll speak to my heart about so-and-so, calling so-and-so. See, because my health is no surprise to him. My legs, the way my legs are, is no surprise to him. He knows all things. He knows exactly what I want to do. He knows that I'm willing to go out. He knows that if my legs won't bother me, if my legs was okay and fine and I wouldn't have to stumble and all that, he knows that where I'd be at, I'd be down here at the church and I'd be outside. I'd be doing something to the church. I'd be doing something to help the church to where we look a little better on the outside. And yes, and I do some stuff here inside the church. I'd go downstairs and do some cleaning up down there. See, he knows that. But also he's waiting. He knows I'm ready. But he's waiting. He's waiting to tell me what to do. And I could get up that morning and try to get out of the bed, and I can't hardly get out of the bed. And I can't walk. I stumble and I fall and everything where I walk and everything. And the Lord says, I want you to go. I want you to go see someone. I want you to go out and visit some people today. And when he speaks, and if I go, I won't stumble. We won't stumble. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit with us. He is our helper. He is my all in all. He's everything to me. And I thank him for that. What's going to happen during the 7 years of the tribulation period? Well, first of all, you're going to see the Jews, 144,000 Jews saved. You know, they're God's chosen people. And they've got to be saved too to go to heaven. Because he's not a just God. If he allows them to go to heaven and don't allow somebody else down here to go to heaven, if they don't confess and ask the Lord Jesus to save them. He's not that kind of God. 144,000 Jews be saved. Not only that, the land. All the land that we see out here is going to be restored. What are you talking about being restored? Some people will say out here today, and I've even had preachers say, you know, with all the rain that we have, that, you know, the Lord, he's coming back very soon. He's coming back very soon. And what they're going by the flood with Noah. They're going by that and thinking about today. Back then, of all the individuals that was right there with Noah and his family, what happened? What happened? It was 7 people. I think it was 7, 8, or 9 people left. It was Noah and his wife and his family. It was the only ones that was left on earth. But then what did it do? The Lord sent the fowls of the air, the animals, in 2 by 2. They didn't come up and say, they look just as good. I mean, they just are just about spotless, except they got one little defect right there. See, I think I'm going to allow them to go. 2 by 2. 2 by 2. Same way today. That's how God come up with his numbers. 2 by 2. That's how he comes up with his people. 2 by 2. You take that. And I've thought about it. I've looked at it. And matter of fact, I had some pieces out there in the shop. And I got one out there and I got them. And I started trying to put it together. I had 2 pieces of plastic pipe. I had one long one and one short one by like that. I said, I'm going to put that, I need to put that together, and I need to make it a little longer. So then, what do? I go get some super glue. I go get some glue that they use as far as on that type of material. And I put it all the way around. And I push them together to try to lengthen it. And I'd sit there and I'd hold it. And I'd hold it and I'd hold it for about 5 minutes. Then I would take my hands off of it. And it looked like it was going to stay together. But then, when I picked it up, by the short piece that was on the other side, or the long piece, doesn't make no difference. When I picked it up, it come apart. It come apart. So I had to go get another piece, a short piece. That was just a little larger than the long piece. A little larger. Where I could put over it and I could glue that and I could put it together like that, put it like a sleeve, put over it. Put the sleeve on now. Got the glue. And all I have to do is just take it and twist it like that. And it's strong. I can't pull it apart. You can't pull it apart. The only way you're going to ever get it apart, and the only way you're going to be able to shorten the pipe again, is you're going to have to cut the pipe off. Have to cut it off with a hacksaw. See, God always have something else that can teach us the biblical things that he has for us. Only thing we have to do, we just have to look for it. And we have to ask the Lord to help us with it. Not only that, we can see also where the temple's been rebuilt there in Jerusalem. We see where they're preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel of not just heaven and not just down here on earth, but they and not just about the church. They are preaching about the kingdom of God. I'm not supposed to be here and building up Faith Baptist Church. You are neither. We're supposed to be here learning more about God so we can go and we can build up the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom right now is not growing. It's not growing like it did back in the 50s, the 40s, and the 30s, and back then. It's just slacked off. People's no more concerned about themselves anymore. And last, what will happen to the Savior and saints? What will happen to the Savior and his saints? The saints is the ones that are saved by God's grace. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, and thou shall be no night there, and they need no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the Holy Ghost, of the holy prophets, sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. You know, there's a whole lot of things here in the Word of God that we don't understand. A whole lot of it I don't understand. But you know, a whole lot here I do understand, and I thank God for it. But not only he concerned about the saints, not only is he concerned about his son, see, God's first priority is his son. We are his next priority. But he puts his son above everything else. Because he says, son, you go and you tell the people about me and about the life that they live. So, son, I've always got your back. You never have to worry about your back. You never have to worry about somebody coming and stabbing you in the back. because I have your back. And the Lord Jesus told his Father, and he told the other people that surrounded him each and every day, each and every time, he says, not my will be done, but the Father's will to be done. He always honored his Father. How many times do we honor him? We need to honor him more than we do. I need to honor him more than I do. And I do. I love him more today than I've ever in my life. And I love this church. I love you more than anybody else that I know of. I love this church and what this church stands for. Than what the last church that I pastored and what they stood for. I stand with this church. I stand with you. Why? Because you never allowed somebody to come in here and change anything at all. And yes, hey, they can come in and they can say, well, we're going to change this and we're going to change that and everything. But I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. I've never heard y'all complain, not one bit, about anything. Why? Why haven't I heard anything like that? Because I know the Lord Jesus is number one in your life. And I know that anything that you do, you're going to do it to honor him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I ask, Father, you'll go with us this week, Father. And, Lord, just help us, Father, that we may be a witness to someone this week. And Father, that we may be an encouragement to someone. Also, Father, that, yes, they saved, but they got out of church. Lord, help us that where we can just go and just have a conversation with them. And Lord, that we can just minister to them. And Father, we do thank you for each one of these individuals that's here today. Lord, I ask now, would you please bless the people? I know you already have. I know you're going to. But Father, bless them. Father, because the individuals that they may see, and maybe the word church never comes up. But Father, the individual that they're seeing and talking to, they can sense there's a type of love there. And something within the voice that they haven't heard lately. Father, that they may just come one Sunday morning, and Father, where it will encourage the individual that was speaking to them. Father, save the lost. Reclaim that in his backslidden. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.